crazy week for pro wrestling. Tony Khan has been getting destroyed by most everyone over choosing to show footage from Brawl Out, I believe they're calling it, with CM Punk and Jack Perry. Yes, this is discussed TNA Impact Wrestling, but that's kind of thing. Literally every person on a podcast I saw talk about this week, so me and Gary are going to have to mention it quickly.
What's that?
So me and Gary are going to have to mention it quickly?
I'm just going to say that predominantly is what you could say kind of ruining wrestling right now. That storyline, you know, showing the footage and whatnot, it went down between Perry and CM Punk. Kind of a low, desperate attempt by Tony to spike a rating.
I mean, yes, we're going to get to TNA in a second. Give us a moment, people. But everyone is talking about this. I mean, I don't know if you know this, but if you click a YouTube video where it's like I watched Eric Bischoff talking about it, and then the next thing you know, like everyone popped up on like my, you know, like the home feed on YouTube. What's his name? The dude you like? I just mentioned it before. Oh, sorry, here he is right now. Dutch Mantel. He actually just made a new one. Oh, sorry, that's old. Nobody cares about Mercedes Moné already. Dutch Mantel. I mean, I can't even go through the Cornette, Bischoff. Like, everyone with a podcast has talked about this, and they all said the same shit. It was stupid. It was ridiculous. There was no reason to do it. But I think there was an obvious reason to do it. I think things are that bad. They needed that big rating. They needed to do anything for a rating, and they got a little bit of one.
Well, and two, did you see that Nick Nemeth himself, TNA's own Nick Nemeth?
Another one, yeah. Busted open. Busted open. I mean, I can't name them all because it's Renee Dupree. I mean, there's so many podcasts. They just popped up in my feed. Like, and it was like Renee Dupree speaking. Like, Jesus, I didn't even know, like, I had a freaking podcast. It was like everyone. So whatever. I mean, I think it did work for him. I mean, I think it's going to fail, you know, in the long run. I think they're going to get possibly the lowest drop in 1 week ratings this week when they come out. But again, I'm not I sound like I am, but I don't hate AEW. I think Gary might. I don't know. Gary.
I think hates
dislike. Dislike. Yeah. I mean, like, I don't enjoy the shows, but I still watch it every week. And I don't know. I just find it like, I feel like I'm watching like WCW back in the day, like when it wasn't so good. But I don't know. They got like a bunch of shit going on, and it's kind of like a disaster. But then they have these great, but most of their matches are great. So it's like, I don't know. They just need to focus better.
It is very WCW-like, but I don't remember WCW being so transparent with how everything's going south.
Like,
they did the job of covering it up back in the day, you know?
Yeah, well, I think it was just internet shit and whatever else. But okay, maybe we'll pop back to that in a minute. This is TNA, whatever the hell we're called. We don't have a lot of news, but TNA did announce matches for April 21st at the Palms, which is not selling too well, and people are complaining about it. And yeah, I don't know how you don't complain about that. I don't know why they're picking places where it's what do they see, 1200 here, Gary? You know that kind of shit.
Yeah, between 12 and 1500. But someone had mentioned too, the last time they were at the Palms, they had a good walk-up crowd, so I don't know if it's a case of it being so near
Vegas
casino, you know, there's people all the time.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's Vegas. There's, I mean, people lose their money. I'd be out there, like, you know, people losing their money. I'd be like, hey, listen, come here. I'll give you a way to make your money back somehow. I don't know. Give me, you know, maybe work out a deal with the casino or some shit.
Yeah.
Act like a fucking fan. We'll give you, a little extra.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure then they'll, like, offer them some kind of deal, like, on a room in a casino or, you know, just pretending or whatever.
Before the matches, TNA just announced a Rebellion pay-per-view press conference. 4:20 p.m. Eastern time. I really like how they're sticking with the 4:20. Someone's got to be a pothead. Someone's got to be a pothead there. 4:20 Eastern time. It's a 4:20 show, Rebellion, Saturday, April 20th. So 4:20 Eastern time. Was this on YouTube? Probably. Yeah. Oh, TNA's Facebook page. Oh, that's interesting. Good. I'm on Facebook.
Oh, the program.
That's where the good people in life are. Good job, TNA. Okay, so the match is announced for next week. First one we didn't know about, I think, Jordan versus Miyu Yamashita. Eddie Edwards versus Nick Nemeth. I like that one, but it has Eddie with the tag team title. And
oh yeah,
they also have Myers with the tag team title. I mean, I don't know if that's a spoiler. I think it might be. They could change those, obviously, but whatever. So yeah, Eddie versus Nemeth, that could be good. Cardona versus PCO, ugh. Get him out of here. Get him out of here.
That's your bummer. Well, my kind of too, but my kind of bummer with this Saturday's pay-per-view is that we have, you know, in order to get it, you have to plunk down $34.95. And right now, you know, I'm sure me and Jay, like many people, are struggling to pay for a pay-per-view, or let alone pay for anything extra out of what we get, you know, weekly and monthly. And like, I don't know, $34.95 in this current wave is a very hard sell. So maybe they ought to, like, readjusting the prices or something.
Is there any kind of deal with Impact Plus?
No.
No,
unless you get that yearly thing when you want to have $300-$400 laying around, you know, then you didn't get it.
No, that's insane. They need to, they need to do something better to get people to friggin' too much money. It's too much goddamn money, and the product is not good enough. I'm sorry. I mean, look at the ratings again, which we haven't had in what, 2 weeks again? Now I think it is. Since they got back.
Yeah, we had that momentum. They were like going all off on like how good it was, and then we go off the radar. I don't know.
They just don't have that many interesting things happening at the time. I mean, look at these matches. Ash by Elegance is going against Brookside again, April 21st. Like, seriously? Oh, is there anyone who gives a shit about that feud at this point? Isn't it? I thought it ended like 7 times already. Ace versus Mustafa. That should kick ass.
Okay, yeah, that should be killer. Yeah.
Leon Slater versus Myron Reed, and that's it. And Mike Bailey versus Brian Myers.
But I mean, this would be a good time to think about bringing in some new knockouts, just because we're kind of in flux between, you know, like the quarter of the year, you know. We need to get some momentum.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 matches. 2 are knockouts. And one of them is this terrible feud with Zia and Ash by Elegance, which may be the worst name in wrestling history. Nothing about this is good. Zia needs to get the hell away from her. I mean, I don't know what you do with Ash other than change her name and maybe just, I don't know. I have no idea. I have no idea what you do. I mean, Zia's good. She's a good wrestler. Tiny but good. And and the other match is Jordan versus Yamashita, so it's someone we never heard of. And then this one terrible feud, like, that's the knockouts division. Like, what happened?
Well, I kind of feel like the Ash by Elegance, the whole character, the persona of the character surrounding it is
what,
like,
is it
does not very much fit in the current landscape of TNA, because
what is just, it, what is her character?
She's not like a Monet or, you know, or somebody like that. I don't know. I just feel like this would be better.
I hate everything. I mean, I was kind of excited getting Jody, what the hell her name is, Dana Brooke. And it was like, you know, I thought she was kind of a name. She's hot. She can maybe draw some people. Yeah. And I mean, just a terrible gimmick. And we always talk about how creepy Iceman comes off with her. And then they, like, I don't know, like this week they had her behind, like, what do you call it? Those little curtain things, like they have, like, the movie theaters.
And okay.
Not a curtain, you know what I mean? The thing, like the row thing. Yeah. And she was just standing there like it was, what? Like she was in some special place? So is she supposed to be an idiot? You know what I mean? Like she was just behind this stupid thing in the middle of a dark room.
Well, like, and the thing is, like, if they're playing this up like she's there, like you're not going to have her backstage where, you know, the rigging and all that stuff you're setting up for
She'd have a nice room.
Yeah, she should have a nice throne.
Like, it has to fit. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like a throne.
She's standing like a goofball with that friggin' the thing in front of her. Like, you have to step into the VIP thing, Santino.
I mean,
who's the idiot here? I don't know. Both of them?
Well, I think they even give her less of a attractive setup to kind of showcase her worse than Alex. Really, you know,
I don't think they even know what she is, what the character is. I don't know. Really, pretty sure that was a Scott character that he brought in, right? That didn't start after Scott.
Yeah.
So everyone point your blame in the right direction. Also, I don't want to hear this shit about, oh, if Scott was back, he'd be doing this. Yeah, well, he's the one who fucked up and got himself fired, not let go. fired.
Well,
Everything I said about that whole thing with him banging Giselle, and everyone was like, oh, no, that couldn't make any sense. Where are they both now? Scott can't even speak for some reason because he's probably got some legal issue with maybe Giselle and whatever else. Who knows? But Giselle is also gone. They just heard they threw out some bullshit that she was injured. Yeah, she can twerk really well. So I guess it's one of those injuries where it doesn't affect your twerking in any manner. I don't think she'll be back. Maybe she will be, but I don't know. That'll be super weird if she does come back. Also really bad, Spitfire versus Decay. There's two fucking teams in the division. Like, stop.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Really? Well, and we're saying we don't really think, like, I mean, when you hear the names of Spitfire and Decay, I mean, you know, you kind of put one way up here.
Yeah.
Spitfire, not a proven team. Like, they haven't really accomplished much other than just, you know, winning recently the titles. But we kind of felt like they hotshotted them because they're in a bind right now.
Yeah, I thought they kind of...
What's that, Jay?
Kind of did to get... But whatever. I'm sorry. But I mean, why not just have NKUltra lose to Decay?
Yeah.
Maybe Kelly had a problem there. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, Gary's having a bit of an audio issue. He'll deal with it. Or he'll just get... I'll just throw him off the call and I'll finish this up myself. But, okay, so I'm reading the first comment. Ladies and gentlemen, these are two of the only three tag teams in the knockout division. Get ready to see the same three teams compete for the titles. Not that I'm complaining about MK Ultra or Decay. Totally agree with that, dude. Yeah, it's ridiculous. And somebody's like, well, thank you. These are not jobbers. They are put together, and they're not even featured on TV at all. Just get rid of those belts and create a Woman X belt or something lower. Oh, my God. Thank you, The Obvious 54 on Facebook. Finally, the Knockouts X Division Championship sounds right. Or fuck that, just make it a mid-card. Don't go X Division, because X Division is already confusing with the whole Jake something thing.
Well, my current thinking with the current way Anthem's running Impact or TNA right now, I don't want them to feel like they are in a comfort zone right now and they think, well, you know, we've got a show, you know, we have some champions, we're doing all right ratings-wise, not where we want to, but I don't want them to be complacent and think, well, we got a wrestling show and we're not caring about the storylines and, like, the direction or, you know, building the depth. And, like, they're just in it to, as some people have said, that they're in
my fear, and we've been talking about it. Like, will they become Ring of Honor? Will they become what Ring of Honor was? And now I'm not abusing Ring of Honor, because Ring of Honor, I mean Ring of Honor on television, because I don't know if a lot of people know this, but Ring of Honor fucking kicked ass selling tickets up until like the day they died. It was incredible. Even when AEW was going on in Ring of Honor, they were still selling solid. They sold incredible. I didn't want to say it because I had like a calendar at the time, but they were just murdering TNA. Like, the amount, it wasn't even close. It was like WWE, Ring of Honor, and then it was a giant gap, and then it was TNA. That was before AEW.
Well, they when they did that collab show.
But their TV always sucked, no?
Well, that in that New Japan, when they worked with New Japan, they were able to sell out Madison Square Garden.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, totally forgot about that. They sold that fucking MSG, yeah. But, I mean, they sold out a lot of shit. I mean, they did really well with tickets, but, I mean, that's what Impact was missing. Like, they got the boring Ring of Honor television down, if that's what they're going for. I don't know. It just feels like there's just a lot of wrestling, and I feel like they're trying to be more like AEW than WWE, even though there's 3 million people tuned into SmackDown last week at one point. And I think maybe 1 million tuned in to just see that ridiculousness on AEW, which was CM Punk. It was watching CM Punk on another show, so it wasn't even one of their own people. Okay, I think that's it for the... Oh, no, sorry. A little more quick news here. I have results from the OPW Australian Stampede, which this is the one that I kept going crazy about. Like, I think I mentioned last week that I knew these things happened. There were two matches. One was the night before Stephanie, Mickie James, her event. But sorry, this one Shit, wait a second. Did I just see the name Josh Alexander?
Josh Alexander
defeated Mance Warner. Well, damn it, I missed it. I could have put it in my title. Son of a bitch. I don't have
it. Okay, I was getting up with the way the show opened this week.
Yeah. So, damn it. Can we get Mance Warner? I mean, what the hell? He's got to be a free agent now that he's doing shit like.
Well, I don't understand. I don't know if that was a Scott thing, because at one point Mance Warner became available, and like he had like a falling out of with MLW. I don't know if Court Bauer and him had heat or what, but like he was out there.
Isn't he still out there though?
No, I don't think he currently is. I think he went, I don't know if you want to say crawling back to MLW, or if he just didn't have any takers, you know, like maybe WWE didn't have nothing, you know, for him. Like, they weren't impressed. And, like, you're either a high, if you're an AEW, you have to be a high flyer or something, you know, something where you cause a lot of drama for you before you're hired. So,
yeah, seems that way. I'm confused about this whole, why would you go to Australia to wrestle Mance Warner? You know, like, that's what the whole idea was. Like Robbie Eagles went against Kushida. Robbie Eagles is pretty good. I've seen him a bunch of times. Chris Masters was there. He's the Stu Hart Heritage Championship champion.
Oh, wow.
And Stu Hart must be rolling in his grave. Unless he's alive, I'm not sure. But Chris Masters, come on. Gangrel won the OPW Tag Championships with Edward Dusk. But hey, good for him. And Moose defeated someone named Adam Brooks, who I looked up. He's supposedly one of the best Australian wrestlers for the TNA World title, so that's cool.
It's Oceania. Oh, like a crowd favorite.
Yeah, so like this was at Oceania Pro Wrestling, and you can find it on Triller TV, which I didn't realize is Fight TV now. Did you know that, Gary? And why are they still calling themselves? Why are they still got the Fight TV labels everywhere?
Honestly, I did, because like I subscribed to their instant messenger for that, and it's always saying Triller, and I'm like, I hear us mentioning it sometimes on TNA programming. They'll say Triller.
Was like, there not a Triller TV that was like a horror movie one? Am I thinking of something else? Thriller. You might maybe? Be thinking
Thriller. There was a I don't know if there's a Thriller subgenre channel on like Pluto.
Oh yeah.
And then probably. I used to have TV show or TV network on cable. It was called Chiller.
Maybe that was it. Or I don't know. Maybe I saw that Triller out. Maybe I saw that Triller out there for a while, and I just didn't put together it was Fight TV. But yeah, StarCast. What the hell is this called? StarCast wrestling show bundle from April 13th, $15.99. I guess you get to watch. You get to watch the replay of Australian Stampede and her. Her looked pretty decent. Mickey James had a match. Tennille Dashwood was there. Jody Threat defeated Steph DeLander. That's kind of weird, so TNA fans, just ignore that, because that's the number one contender, losing to a tag champion. And then Jordan Grace defeated Delta, who I got to say has an awesome look. Definitely check out that look if you can. I mean, it's pretty easy. Just look up Mickey James or whatever. Or check out alldistractions.com. I have really good look. Man, she has like red like dreadlocks, just like really badass, man. She's kind of like a luchador. I don't know. Hoping it would take her home with them, but don't know if that's a thing. And I guess now it's TNA time. TNA Impact, April 11th, I believe.
Yeah, it's the second to
where
last.
The hell was this? Philly?
In Philly? Yeah, it's at 2300 Arena. We're there again next week, and then
crowds have been pretty good, no?
Yeah, they really have. They embrace the TNA chanting, so I'm all in, pun intended. So you can get that kind of, you know, at reaction at a current TNA show. I guess that's something in itself.
I just checked a bunch of grades before the shows. Hall from 411 gave it a 7. Give it a 7. Our friend Christian Thompson gave it a 6.75. And somebody else I forget the other dude's name, at 411 gave it a 6.5. So all in that exact range. And I hate to say it, but I kind of agree. Maybe I'd go a tiny bit higher, because the crowd was really good, and I actually liked the opening. I mean, Tommy Dreamer, I got to give it to him. I think he lost a tiny bit of weight. It's not a joke. I really do. I think he's getting into a little bit of shape.
He came off really cool in this segment. Yeah. He didn't hear fake crying or whatever.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
He did a really good
job. I think it was because of Philly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he's kind of like,
I don't know. I'm going to mention it right off the bat so there's no question about what I thought of the show. I've honestly thought the last couple of weeks I've been very impressed with the direction they've been going, only because like I feel like they've done a very good job of building to the pay-per-view, whereas in Pat, like when Scott was there, I felt like they jam all this stuff in like that.
Yeah, that was finally one big that was a huge complaint of fans not building shows correctly, but you know, now that
I mean
Scott's not there, nobody can give Anthem credit for doing anything right, even though I will say that they're doing a bunch of things wrong, but they're put in a shitty situation. People have to realize that. Like, they didn't want to do this. They gave all the power. They remember years ago, you could look it up. Ed and Len stepped back. They gave all the power to Scott, and he fucked up, man. Like, the end. We don't know. All I have is theories and shit based on the fact that he hasn't said a goddamn word since. And I'm sorry, but if you're
all the way. Just the way I see it with Scott, the setback with Scott, like, set us back another year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, think about how much they invested in this guy to control everything, to grow everything. It didn't happen. And I'm sorry, but I know a lot of people love him. I'm going to be so pissed off if Josh Alexander wins the match against Hammerstone, which is now a last man standing, so they can actually save Josh. You know what I mean? Well, they don't have to. He doesn't have to lose straight. Someone can knock him the fuck out.
Well, you had mentioned, like, I never really noticed it, like, until you started, like, saying when Scott was in charge, he was kind of building everything in and around Giselle, like, at all costs. And I think it hurt the show because it was like she's lost like 100, you know, matches in a row. Yeah.
She never won a title match. I honestly bet she lost 30 title matches since she was there. Tag teams, whatever, pre-show, you know, not Twitch, whatever the hell they were.
Yeah, definitely.
And she had that, remember she had that match against New Japan, this is randomly, they threw in a match against New Japan. It was a New Japan match, like for the strong title and the Knockouts title. Like, laughable. And I was like, fuck that. She doesn't belong there. And this is where the whole thing started. And she just kept getting pushed and pushed and pushed. And look what happened. What happened to the other Knockouts? Nothing. They got nothing. Decay, no one even gives a shit about them anymore because Scott let Rosemary be a goofball playing whatever character she felt like playing for a year. A character that she would never show up at a signing dressed like because nobody would go and get signed stuff. She probably has the biggest lines on most of these things when she's fucking Rosemary. And this goof said, you know what, for a year, you don't have to be Rosemary. You're one of our biggest, you know, known faces on the goddamn roster. Put on this stupid shit. Because I need to push my girlfriend. Because I need to get my girlfriend to the fucking top. I need everyone else out of the way.
I think it's fine to change up your character, but, like, you don't do that with Rosemary.
Not that.
Just too untouchable.
I mean, it actually killed, like, the Rosemary. Like, she's not getting the same, you know what I mean, reaction now.
Yeah, and it's like,
seriously, anyone listening, go back. People used to sing along like psychos when she came out. She was so fucking over.
Well, and to be fair, they need a new theme as well. Like, they've been having that one for like 3 years now. You know what I mean? Like, I would bring
I wish they could do a draft or something. I would honestly start the next show, or maybe after Rebellion, I would give them both as much money as possible, Eric Bischoff and Vince Russo, to come into the ring and do the WCW thing that we're like rebooting everything. Maybe do it right this time.
Well, I definitely think something needs to be shaken up. Like you said, we're kind of stagnant right now. Like, there's really, you know, there's nothing ever gets us in the news.
No, not at all. Totally. I almost forgot my whole goddamn thing that I had. Okay, so I posted something a few days ago about, it's called TNA champ Jordynne Grace versus WWE's Natalya teased. Could it happen? Natalya talked about Grace and Gail Kim. I thought it was so cool that we brought Jordynne Grace over for the Royal Rumble. I want to wrestle Jordynne Grace. I would love to compete against her. I'm dying to bring Gail Kim out of retirement. Gail, she's so underrated. She's so talented. To work with her or against her, she's amazing. Gail, Jordynne replied on Twitter, come through the prohibited portal, which I guess is a cooler name for that other stupid thing. And then Natalya replied with the shocked emoji. And then Natalya, it turns out, like, no one really knows what's going on with her. She's showing up at, and she showed up at an indie show.
Oh, really? And
so it's like, yeah, it's, oh, man, who the hell was it? It was a weird indie show she showed up to. Like a super weird indie show that she normally would not be at, unless
game for her to show up in a TNA ring, or even if Jordynne had to show up on, you know, TV in WWE, I would be very willing to watch that match.
Okay, now I took this further. I said, I mean, we talked about, I mentioned how, did I mention it? No, this is a badly written article. Okay, Jordynne was in the Rumble months ago, and it's been reported the WWE TNA relationship will be continuing after Scott DeMore was fired. More recently, it's been reported that WWE President Nick Khan wants to work with other promotions. TNA is already one of them. So wouldn't it make sense they expand upon that relationship? This is me, my writing, talking here. Or maybe it's already happening and we don't realize it. Like, perhaps TNA... Gary, what do you think about this? I don't know if you've read... I don't know if you heard this.
Well,
perhaps... Ready? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Well, just honestly, I'm really tickled to hear this, because like they do need some, you know, like much needed notoriety. Yeah. And like the first time around with Jordynne, it was such a, you know, a success. It was nothing that, you know, had put egg on anybody's faces, like down stealth, you know.
Okay, is this, only have, so is this know. Crazy? Perhaps WWE wanted to keep Naomi Trinity away from AEW. So she went to TNA and then back to WWE. I feel like the same is going to happen with Nemeth / Ziggler. I mean, does anyone not think that dude's going to return to WWE?
Oh,
and
yeah,
also maybe Mustafa Ali. Crazy? Totally crazy? Or possible that they have... Yeah. I mean, we know they're working together.
I would say very likely.
And how about with Natalya? That she's openly talking about wrestling Jordynne. It's not the other way around.
I mean, shit. We're talking about the WWE. They can get anybody at any time, you know? Yeah. They're a phenom in their own, you know, what they've done with.
I'm sure they have a crazy ass idea, like, or I'm sorry, I'm sure they have a messed up idea, like, you know, yeah, we're gonna become friends with them, then we're gonna own them one day, like that's because it's WWE, but it is possible to work with them and come out of it alive.
I mean, look what happened to was it Gabe Sapolsky with what was it? I can't think of the promotion. That's no longer. I've seen writing on the wall before, but
tip my tongue, just lost it. Okay, back to TNA. I love the opening. Tommy Dreamer got put in a torture rack. I mean, pretty great. Alexander ran him for a save. He challenged Hammerstone to a last man standing match at Rebellion. Like, that was a really cool opening with Tommy Dreamer, which was kind of shocking. But the fans obviously helped, and I just love everything about Hammerstone, man. He's so fresh, you know what I mean? I feel like, and I give Josh shit, he's a great wrestler. He's been for so long, but how many years has he been the top guy, and how much have they, the opposite of growing, shrinking? Oh, I mean, they've shrunk under Josh. I'm sorry, they have. Try someone new.
And honestly, I think I like the tunnel in the current middle of the, you know, the venue. I think it looked like killer. And I think it looked really good in 2300 Arena. I honestly think it'd be better served to put it where they do in 2300 Arena, because the positioning of it's kind of awkward when you're getting the, you know, far shot of the arena. And this, it kind of gives it that, I don't know, kind of like a little bit of a major league feel, kind of, in a way.
Thanks for the weekly 2 minutes on tunnels from Gary there, the tunnel lover. Gotta mention, fantastic opening segment. It's very rare that TNA opens their show in anything besides a video package, so this was great. From the brawl to Dreamer trying to calm things down, and then Hammerstone with the predictable attack, and then the LMS feud. The feud probably needed a stipulation to break the 1-1 tie, which I have called for, and you could do in a last standing match. in a way that even a loser looks strong. Totally said it. So Josh can lose and they can protect him. That's Christian Thompson. Totally on the same page there. Really like it. So then Crazy Steve versus Laredo Kid. This is a weird one. I don't know. I think it's just so weird because Steve has been facing so many goddamn, what's the word? Hardcore guys?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is, and I think it wasn't too long ago Laredo had a shot at Crazy Steve, didn't
he? He couldn't make the show or something. I had like a whole thing about
it. Oh, what happened? I wondered because it's like, I guess they're for that lost match or whatever.
But this was a DQ, back and forth, stupid ending.
I thought it was a good way to open up the show with having a couple, something that's not like really boring, with X Division, taking on somebody that's crazy, and I don't know, it's just good way to open the show. I mean, they've opened the show with by far a lot worse, like we had mentioned.
I love Laredo Kid. Guy's a great wrestler, man. I don't know if people realize he's the goddamn mega AAA champion. Like, that's the biggest goddamn title you can get. Like, he's legit. He's had crazy matches with Omega.
Well, that's what I was saying. Like, there's no reason why he couldn't be our version of Rey Mysterio. Yeah, you know, totally. He has the mask. He could be totally marketable, you know.
Or something close to it. Where the hell is that other dude? Kalisto, but he was with them.
I don't know. I kind of thought he was gonna stay on and remain.
We mentioned last week he gave a name to the mic check. Well, sound check. Yeah, he gave sound check the name. So I don't know. Maybe he left after that. He just popped in. Gave
yeah, I don't know. It's kind of weird because like I thought we were all but signing him. I don't know if that was another bad Scott decision where he didn't, I don't know, he just didn't want to break the bank or pay, what he was asking or whatever, which.
Yeah. Really, and I got to say, speaking of bad Scott decisions, this is one of my most hated, and it happened at the end. I don't know if it was just him being a dick or something, but Khan murdering people, like literally, not literally, but in wrestling, kayfabe, he murdered people. That's his whole, how he got to even face PCO in a Monsters Ball match, which everyone knows who's gonna win. And I hated the part. I absolutely hate this part now. I used to love it. Or I loved it a long time ago. Remember when Roddy Piper was locked away for 24 hours in Alcatraz?
Oh, yeah. I think I do kind of remember a little bit back in the day about that. Yeah.
Like I don't know. I don't want to hear that wrestlers have been locked away for 24 hours unless you have fucking some kind of proof or video like Piper, from back in the day where
a lot of time.
Like a live, how about like a live feed of them in 24 hours where anyone can actually check on it? Or, whatever. Make it, they don't have to be locked up. Jesus, it's just a stupid thing, but whatever. Time Machine, we're backstage, and they just all apologized. That was kind of, I guess that was like a nice goodbye for them. Like, I think they were going to feud, and then they were like, shit, we're leaving. Can we have like a nice little segment to say goodbye?
Yeah, well, the thing is, it was kind of weird, too, because there was some bickering, and then all in one week, they're like, yeah, the bickering's behind us, like, we're going our own way. And,
I think they probably signed within those 2 weeks.
And they were
doing stuff, maybe.
Impact was that possibly they might stay around, for a little longer. I don't.
But. And how about this? Shockingly. The men's tag division is actually becoming a bit of a thing. First Class had a very good match, and I think their first ever tag match against Bullet Club, who I totally understand if you want to complain about Bullet Club losing, but
it's amazing how a heel change and a better written direction for Rich Swann can make worlds different,
And Francis has been, he's been fucking fantastic, man. And he had a good match. I was saying, I haven't seen him wrestling, but he looks like a big dude that could probably throw some people around, and that's exactly what he did.
Yeah, definitely very agile, very much like the Ugandan headhunter kind of like a little bit, like when he'd get knocked out of the ring and he'd land on his feet. Very, very agile big man, I think.
Yeah. Not much more to say about him. We're big fans. And Joe Hendry also crazy over in this whole thing. He got to crowd chanting Fat Uncle Phil. I mean, the crowd, pretty much all the crowds are into, like, this segment, which is kind of crazy.
Well, another little thing I don't know if people out there know is, isn't it, well, I know Will Smith is from Philly, and then, like, the throw in there with Uncle Phil, and then, like...
He was singing the opening.
Little Philly nod all the way around, and then, like, Kobe Bryant's from Philly, you know, things like that. Just a little bit of everything added in there.
Yeah, if someone told me that one of the most interesting feuds would involve AJ Francis and Joe Hendry a few months ago, I would have laughed my ass off. But it is.
And I must say, too.
Good for those guys.
Yeah, I have been sort of enjoying the vignette with Jonathan Gresham. It has me curious what they're going to be doing with him. Probably the first time I've been actually interested in the character of Gresham since he's been there.
He's never had one other than, hey, I'm a great wrestler.
Yeah.
Speaking of, got to take another quick shot at AEW. Do you know Shibata? Well, there's a dude named Shibata, and guess what name they came up with him? Ready for this one? The Wrestler. That's his gimmick. Like, the Wrestler, Shibata. The fucking Wrestler in the wrestling promotion. Like,
oh my God.
Seriously, I can't even think. Might as well just call him, like...
They're not referencing Randy the Ram, right? From the Wrestler.
I thought maybe, but he's totally not that kind of... He's just like a Japanese guy that is really good at wrestling, so I think they're just making it like he's a really good wrestler, because they are so fucking uncreative. It's unbelievable.
I wasn't sure if he meant he, like, dyed his hair blonde and then, like, he kind of...
No, nothing like that. Not even.
Oh, wow.
So then we get to the part where Ash and Iceman were backstage in their VIP, quote-unquote, area. Santino popped in, and he was like... And they said... It was weird. Steph Nylander shouldn't be number one contender because she was filling in for Ash. So maybe, Ash is going to go after Steph Nylander and maybe she actually signs, but no. Then I think she would have a match with her at the taping, but they can't announce that match, so possibly.
Well, this cracked me up with Santino when he's like, he looks at the Iceman and he's like, I don't know how this little thing works. And he goes, what, this? He goes, yeah. And then he unbuckles it. Okay.
He's so great, man. He really is.
Get out of here. You know, I just was laughing at that. I had me laughing for like 20 minutes.
He can do like the smallest things and make them absolutely hysterical. And again, enormous step up from Scott.
Yeah, definitely.
As a TV character.
Yeah, definitely very much it's overachieving. Like, I thought it would kind of, like, I'd get sick of it after the first, months. And he's like, it just seems like every episode that like the mispronunciations of word or names and just little things he does kind of keep the show moving, you know, and in a fun way.
Yeah, very fun, awesome character. Okay, so Mustafa Ali was complaining about Jake something. I was a big fan of this. They had a whole I think it was like a hashtag, like down with Jake or something. Now he's actually pushing the limits of the division, which I think it's like, I don't know how that makes him a heel. It's like, it's more of like a question, like what the hell is the X division? That's what he wants to know. I think that's what a lot of fans want to know. And I think it's cool. Well, and
good news for team Mustafa for us, Jay. I heard he got some more dates extended, so I doubt they're taking the belt off him
The fact that he's wrestling right after these shows, I'm really happy. So, yeah, I don't think there's any way he's losing. Again, I think this is similar to Giselle getting a title shot. I think they want to get rid of some stupid ideas that Scott had going in the works. Like a never-ending Jake something push, along with that never-ending Giselle push. And I love Jake something could be great on a tag team or anywhere else. He's not an X guy. He's a giant. It looks ridiculous. He's not Samoa Joe. I mean, Samoa Joe wasn't a giant. He was just fat. Sorry, I was trying to think of a better word than fat. But no, he was fat.
Very good, though.
Yeah, very good. He was an absolutely incredible wrestler, but he was overweight. But, I mean, that's what made it, like, it should have been a one-time goddamn thing. Did anyone, like, who was the other one that did it? Abyss.
No, what pissed what pissed me off back in the day is, like, it felt like they would put the belt on Joe constantly, which I get because he's very good. But I kind of always felt like they never really liked to put the belt on Christopher Daniels. Like, oh, he was always out. Like, he'd get a belt, but, like, he might get a quick, you know, transition or whatever. And then they'll put the belt right back on Joe or AJ.
Apologies for my yawning, people. I'm very sick and on a lot of pills. Not bored, even though, yeah, sometimes Gary does bore me a little bit, but I'm sure I do the same.
Well, speaking of bored, you have Moose and Trent Seven.
Oh, yeah, your boy. Wait, was that before or after the
contract signing? Right.
Well, whatever. Moose got the win in Moose got the win in 4 minutes.
Yeah.
What am I supposed to think about Trent Seven?
I don't know. I think
am I wrong? Is he not a tag champion at the moment?
I think they might be vowing for it, right? Isn't it Myers and?
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, and what I don't like here though is we all know that Seven is 100% a Scott guy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I wonder how much longer he'll.
Fun fact: Scott pulled him straight out of the 70s in IPWF somehow. Don't know how that happened, but Jesus, get a haircut or something, man. Sorry, dye it. You look awful. You look like some 80s wrestler that just popped in, and it doesn't work. It doesn't fit. It's so weird. But Moose got the win, so whatever. No harm, no foul. I think Moose is going to win again at the pay-per-view, but I really don't know, and that's going to be interesting. Okay, wait, we missed the Knockouts contract signing. Santino was there again. Awesome. One thing I hated. So Jordan talked about all her accomplishments, and she talks about, and Cardona gets in her face and all, and she's like, yeah, but I already beat Delander. I beat you, Cardona. I even beat your wife. I feel like that made the match unnecessary. She did. She beat her a year ago. Like, why did she even get the title? But whatever. Yeah, I mean, Jordan's going to win. Hopefully, I mean,
you know.
Hopefully Jordan wins. I mean, I can't imagine going to put the title on Delander. I don't even think she'll be back. I don't even think she'll stick with him afterward, which if she doesn't, why in the hell would she get this shot other than the fact she's close with the indie god, Matt Cardona, who, I mean, listen, the guy's an indie god. I'm sure ratings went way up for this episode, although today is Monday and we've yet to hear anything yet, but I'm sure any minute now they're going to come in that Impact got like 150,000 viewers because that's how big Matt Cardona is in his own mind. He's already gone. That's what me and Larry hate. Me and Gary hate about him. He just pops in. He's no promoting, and he's in and out, and so whatever. I don't know. I mean, they all, like Thompson said, it was a good way to get all four of them on the show, even though it still didn't solve anything. Yeah, exactly. The Gresham mask, that was pretty cool, like you said.
I do think I have a really good spot to put Trent Seven in. You know, we don't really want him in the tag division. We don't really want him on our show, but I think he'd be
AEW.
But he'd be better served as maybe a manager for GYV.
Oh, yeah, that'd be good. I do like those guys.
The British connection kind of thing.
Yeah, you know? I do like those fellas, but again, they lasted a 4 minute match against Jake something, James Drake, who were supposed to, like I mentioned before, they have a good tag division, but do they really, if they're getting humiliated by singles wrestlers?
Well, and to be fair, I don't like Jake's finishing move, the Void. I don't know. Just something about it. It looks like you could possibly kick out of it, and it's like nobody ever does.
You know? It's kind of like a mid. Yeah. I didn't mind that match as Drake got in some offense, but it was all about something overcoming the odds and dominating. The finisher was cool. Ooh, total opposite from what Gary said there. Ooh, Gary versus Christian. Nice. Mustafa Ali had a celebration. Oh, yeah, this is what I love. Say no to Jake. That's what it was. I thought it was great. Ali complained about the division having no limits. I mean, I loved everything about this. I love Ali. I don't know how he's a bad guy, and I really hope he wins. And they attack Jake, and I don't know. I really like that. I liked everything about that. They're making me give a shit about the groovy veterans, I'm calling them. I don't care.
I think if you give Mustafa somebody that's equally a face that's like prominent, I think I think we would probably kind of lean for the face, but they don't have anybody that can, like, I mean, he even made Saban look like he was a rookie. I mean, he beat him twice, you know, and I mean, how many guys do you know on TNA are all wrestling that have beat Chris Saban back to back, you know?
So what I like most about him is he actually is a goddamn character. Like, he could have just came in and put on great matches, Ali.
Yeah, and I think his smile on his face says it all, you know,
about him.
He don't even really, you know, yeah, he's like, you know, I'm better than you. I don't have to, you know, I don't have to explain myself to anybody.
Yeah. Next week, they announced Hammerstone in action, Nemeth speaks, and the System versus Motor City Machine Guns, and I believe their last match ever. And now we have the Monsters Ball, PCO versus Khan. Gary, what did you think as a crazy person?
Well, as a crazy person, I would have liked it to have been a little bit, you know, a little, maybe possibly bloody. I know that's kind of hard in this day and age.
Is it though? When your own network?
Well, that's true.
Are they going to sue themselves?
I just feel like wrestling as a whole, they kind of like have walked away from that. Unless you're AEW, and I hear they have nothing but blood. I don't know. I don't watch.
I swear to God, John Moxley bleeds every match, and this week he's bleeding in the graphic. It's like, I don't know if they made a joke about it, but like, to me, it's hysterical that he's bleeding so much. He's bleeding in the graphics now. But yeah, I get you. But also, WWE's been using blood very smartly, I think, with the whole Cody thing. I don't know if you saw that with The Rock.
Oh, the TV-14 and all.
Yeah, like rubbing, you know, Cody's blood on the belt.
I've actually looked at more of that than I would ever AEW. I am very interested with the stuff with Cody, just because I feel like
it's a story. It's a huge story.
He got his, you know, just due, and like, you know, they did actually put the world title. I don't know if he had it in AEW, but
no.
But I do. Well, that's what I mean. And he like, quickly, I mean, he kind of.
I think he quickly came out and made a mistake saying he would never go for the AEW world title, like trying to be like a super face. Like, I'm not going to win the title for my own company.
Very, very cool of WWE to do that, just, you know, for his lineage alone. And then like that. Yeah, I would have, if you would have asked me if they would have put the world title on Cody Rhodes, say, 10, 15 years ago. Yeah.
I would have said no a year ago. I would have said no. Yeah. They signed. They gave him a lot of money, and they're like, dude, we can't put a title on you. You literally broke my throne. You know what I mean? Like, Triple H, like, you took a shit in my face, dude.
Yeah, definitely.
But it might be the total opposite. You know what I mean? It could be the total opposite, where they're like, Triple H is trying to show, like, he's bigger. But also, I have to jump over to this quick. I don't know if you heard any about this. Vince Russo has a crazy or possibly good theory that Triple H is on his way out. And yes, they called the entire week the whatever of Levesque or Levesque, like the era of Levesque. But he was like, they did it. It was too much. And I forget who was on the show, but it was like a smart wrestler, old wrestler, Stevie Richards. And he was like, yeah, man, it's too much. Like, they never do this for someone. Like, when do you, and, you know, he's like, when do they put somebody over like that? And they're like, you know, it's usually before the fall. So he was saying, like, that since The Rock came in, they don't need Triple H anymore. The Rock has his own people. They're all going to run everything. And The Rock fucking hates Shawn Michaels from, like, forever ago. And Triple H and Shawn Michaels kind of held him back. They did everything possible to hold The Rock back in his younger days. So could you imagine The Rock coming back at the top of his fucking – as their bosses now?
Oh, wow.
Like, I mean, I thought it was insane, but the more Russo was talking – I mean, I know it's Russo, sure, say whatever you want, but – and, like, they've literally been calling things the era of Levesque. So, like, it does definitely sounds like it's going to continue, but I don't know. I mean, I could also see them being like he said, what if Triple H knew something? You know what I mean? Like, don't you want him and anyone that was close to Vince out of there?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think Triple H was always kind of, like, waiting in the wings, waiting for that moment to seize. And
he was always the biggest Vince guy. People just say he's like Vince number two. They wake up, they go to the gym, they live at the gym, they live wrestling. That's their lives.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know how we got there, but back to TNA.
Pretty interesting.
Yeah. I mean, PCO got the win over Khan. I mean, I'm pretty sure this was obvious to most people. I don't think Khan should ever even be in the situation where he ended up. also. Why is there goddamn Monsters Ball 2 weeks or a week before Rebellion? Why wasn't this on Rebellion?
Yeah, that's what I'm just going to say. Maybe save this for Rebellion. But I will say, to Khan's credit, if there's a time he's looked somewhat legit, I mean, I think they did an all right job. I mean, to try and make him that bad big man or whatever. But at the same time, like you said, he was should have never been given that opportunity. And there really wasn't no big payoff coming out of this, regardless, other than, you knew PCO was their chosen monster, so you knew he was going to get the win in this.
Yeah, sure. Does he get a goddamn match at? Does he even get a match at
the Yeah, that's what I mean. All right I can think of is...
Right now, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There's 8 matches right now. 2 on the pre-show.
Yeah.
So that's probably it, right?
Yeah. I'm okay with 2 on this pre-show because it's an hour, but like if it was a half hour, I'd be like, nah. But as far as I know, the 2 matches and it's an hour pre-show, you can catch that, I guess, on YouTube, or is it on Impact Plus too?
Yeah, plus we...
Oh, it's TNA Plus.
Yeah, going to be tough watching this one, but we're going to have to figure it out somehow because like... Gary said, I ain't paying no fucking $40 or nothing for anything these days unless it's 15 pizzas or something.
Yeah.
With Pepsi.
Yeah, with Pepsi. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think they did good enough to maybe get some pay-per-view buys, but I don't know. You would have to be on a very, not a fixed income. Yeah, quite the opposite, you know?
And there's so much going on with wrestling and fucking WWE and AEW. It's so hard to you know what I mean? Yeah.
With the WWE landscape, with it being available on Peacock. And
yeah. I mean, SmackDown's on Friday. When is the show? Friday or Saturday?
Saturday.
Okay. You know, I don't even know what's on Saturday anymore. I think Collision and the last time they had... Battle of the Belts after Collision, which I don't even they had 19 shows AEW.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing you just made me think of. AEW is running some kind of special the night after, so I was like, anything to rain on, you know, don't let TNA soak in for a week.
I don't know if it's TNA or they just tape an insane amount of shit.
Yeah,
like they start one show and they have 4 hours of taping or something like the old school TNA days, which you know, of course, it's not funny anymore. Yeah. Because it's not TNA, but talked about that already, and that's about it.
That's all I got. Just make sure you order Rebellion, and if you're able, I'm not going to tell anybody to do it, because I'm not doing it.
You say make sure you order Rebellion after you told everyone you're not going to order Rebellion? That's some balls.
Exactly. But then Sunday they have...
Also, everyone buy Eagles merchandise. Gary just getting people to do whatever he wants in life, so.
Make sure you pick up your Saquon Barkley stuff. You Giant fans can throw stuff at him when he comes to MetLife.
All right, there's no need to end it on that way, and now I'm angry, and I don't like you. So, everyone have a good day. Leave a comment or whatever. Peace.
Peace.